Jesus' name, amen. On October 31st, 1517, the day in the history of the church happened that changed the church forever. Up to that point, the church had been losing its way, had been heading in the wrong direction, had been getting away from the truths of God's word. And little by little, men and women were beginning to go back to the word of God and beginning to go back to the truths of God's word. Then on October 31st, 1517, a man by the name of Martin Luther took his 95 theses and he nailed it to the doors of a church in England. 95 theses were his 95 complaints against where the church had gotten. Church had gotten away from God's word. So the cry was sola scriptura, God or scripture alone. Church had gotten away from the truths of salvation. So the cry of the Reformation was faith alone. We don't know when it happened in Martin Luther's life, but the best guess is that it was around 1529 or 12 years after he had nailed that 95 thesis to the wall, that he wrote a song. And it is found in our hymn book. That's why I was kind of, you know, looking at the hymn book and looking at scripture the same. You can open to number 26 and follow along if you'd like. I am not going to sing it this morning. But I would like to read it to you. It's one of the great hymns and really one of the foundation hymns of the Reformation. It's called "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," and it was written by Martin Luther. It says, "A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and arm with cruel hate. On earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Thus ask us who that may be. Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabbath is his name. From age to age the same, and he must win the battle. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abid or abideth. The spirit and the gifts are ours through him who with us sideth. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also. The body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. Amen." And Martin Luther wrote this great hymn, and again, we believe around 1529, it became the song of the Reformation. It became the song that many Christians looked to as they went through the troubles and problems of this world. This song, this hymn, was written because Martin Luther read a great psalm, Psalm 46. And it became the basis for this hymn. The Bible says, Jesus said in John 16:33, in this world, it is full of trouble. But have peace, I have overcome the world. I want us to notice this psalm that forms the foundation for this great hymn. Because in the psalm, it tells us what we should do or what we can do as we face trouble in this world. And realize and understand, you are going to face trouble in this world. And some of the trouble you're going to face is going to be gigantic. And some of the trouble you're going to face may seem small to others,
but it's going to be big to you.
I want you to know that over the past few weeks, I have been battling chapped lips. And, you know, no matter what I do, I can't get rid of these chapped lips. I've been using chapstick like crazy. And that may not seem like a big deal, but if you have to preach and speak and you're battling chapped lips, it becomes a bigger deal. Sometimes in our lives, we deal with issues in our life that maybe to someone else doesn't seem like too big a deal. But for you, it might be gigantic. And sometimes those things that come our way, that no matter who's looking at it, they are gigantic. You know, it could be job-related things. It could be family-related things. It could be health-related issues. And these things come our way, and it seems like every time we turn around, there's something new coming in our life. But I want you to know that we can face these things, and we can deal with these things if we go, as the song we sang, as if we stand in Christ alone. This psalm talks about that. So I want you to notice three things from this psalm we can do as we face trouble. The first is, when you face trouble, count on God's protection. Count on God's protection. You know, the truth is, God is your shield. If you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, God is your shield. Notice beginning in verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Notice the three truths that are demonstrated here about God. First of all, it says that God is our refuge, not our home. You know, sometimes we run to our house, and that's kind of where we hide from the world, but that is not our refuge. It's not our money or our bank account. It's not our job. It's not even our family. God is our refuge. The word refuge means shelter. It was used of a shelter that would keep you out of the rain and out of the storms, or keep you away from danger. Has the idea of a place that you can go for refuge or shelter, free from danger, free from the troubles. God is our refuge. God is the one that we are to go to when we're facing trouble. God is the one we need to turn to when things in life are turning sour. Unfortunately, so many in our world, when you know things are going bad, they start popping pills like crazy, or they start drinking like crazy, or they get lost in their job, or they go to all different kinds of things. I want you to know that God is a refuge, and God is the only refuge where you can really find shelter from trouble. Because notice, God is our strength. God is our refuge. Secondly, God is our strength. God is our strength. He's our might. He's our power. He's the one who gives us the ability to deal with trouble. He's the one who gives us strength to be able to get through trouble. I love what it says in Isaiah chapter 40, beginning of verse 28. Listen to it. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. He is the creator of the earth, the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. I don't know if you have had opportunity to watch little Robbie in Camden as they run around this church. Every so often, I'll be standing next to somebody, I'll say to them, don't you wish you had the energy of these two little boys? If you watch, and it was funny, as they were kind of getting to the point where they were wanting to walk, but they couldn't walk yet, and they were kind of holding on to a finger, and those of you who had children before, you knew what was going to happen next. At some point, they were going to let go of mom and dad's finger, and they were just going to take off and never stop. I mean, they were just going to run and run and run. And if you see them running around after church, before church, they just don't want to stop. They want to keep running. They want to keep going. I was watching Camden this morning, and he's not to the point yet where he quite bends his knees real good. So he kind of walks like this, and he runs around like that. But he just keeps going. But you know what? If you watch them for a while, they get tired. They start rubbing their eyes. They start getting cranky, and they get tired. And those of us who are older, we sometimes think, if I could only be 18 again. But when we were 18, we got tired too. The reality is that even youths, even young men, they get tired. But notice it says that those who put their hope in the Lord, what happens? They renew their strength. The strength just keeps getting new all the time. In other words, when you run to God for strength, when you run to God for refuge, when you run to God when you're facing troubles, then your strength will be renewed. You'll get strong again. You'll be able to face the problem. You'll be able to face the trouble because your strength is going to be renewed over and over and over again. It says it this way in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 24, verse 15 and 16. It says, "Do not wait like an outlaw against a righteous man's house. Do not raid his dwelling, for though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again, but the wicked are brought down by calamity." It's not the righteous that are brought down. It's not the righteous that fall apart when trouble comes. They may fall. There may be times in our life when we get knocked over and we feel like, you know, we're never going to stand up again. But the reality is we do get back up when we go to God for hope, when we go to God for strength. People often tell of the Christian that we're kind of the pie in the sky religion and we're always looking towards, you know, heaven in the future. But the reality is God is with us right now. And we go to Him right now when we face trouble. And He becomes our strength. Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength." That means anything that comes my way, I can face it. If I face it not my own strength, but I face it in the strength that God gives me. I face it in the power that God gives me. God is not only my refuge, but God is my strength. And I love what the next part of this verse says. Notice verse 1, "an ever-present help in trouble." An ever-present help in trouble. The word "ever-present" is a word that describes Hebrew words, which simply means that God can always be found. In other words, if you're going through trouble and you're going through problems and you're facing difficulties and you really look for God, you really search God, the Bible says that God is a God who can always be found. Unless you've kind of closed the door on God. You know, some people, they want to live their life without God, and then they get in trouble. They kind of take God out of their trunk like a spare tire, and the only time they want God in their life is when they're going through problems, when the tire gets flat. See, God wants us to be part of His life all the time, part of our life all the time. And when we are placing our hope and our refuge and strength and we're looking to Him for help, then as you live your Christian life, as you do what God wants you to do, then when you go through trouble, when you face problems, God is always going to be found by you. He's always going to be there for you. Sometimes in life we have friends who they declare their friendship and their faithfulness to us and say to us, "I'll always be there for you." And then you get in the midst of a whole bunch of problems, and you look around for your friends, and they're nowhere to be found. God can always be found. God is always there for us. God is ever present for us, for those who love God, for those who have been called according to His purpose, for those who are seeking to serve God. He is always there. He's always found. Again, in the book of Isaiah, it says, "You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is the rock eternal." So God is our refuge. God is our strength. God is an ever-present help in trouble. The word trouble here means calamity, anguish, the state of unfavorable circumstances. Talks about the pain and distress we sometimes face when trouble comes our way. God can be found in those times. So what does that mean to us? How does that truth apply to our lives? Notice in verse 1, he gives us the demonstration of the truth, but then in verse 2 and 3, he applies it. So notice he says, since God is our refuge, since God is our strength, since God is an ever-present help in trouble, since we can always find them, here is the result, or here is how we apply it. Notice the word, therefore. Therefore, we will not fear. Since God is my refuge and strength, and since he's always there for me in trouble, I'm not going to fear. The word fear means to tremble. To tremble. You know, it's not talking about sometimes having healthy fears of things that can be very dangerous, but it's talking about living our life and living our life in fear, living our life being afraid all the time. Afraid, you know, to walk out our door, afraid to, you know, go out at night, afraid to live our life, living a life in fear. Especially when trouble comes our way. And what he is saying here is, because God is my refuge and strength, the present help in trouble, I'm not going to be afraid all the time. I'm just not going to live a life of fear. In fact, he says, even if the earth were to give way, even if the mountains fall in the heart of the sea, even if the waters roar and foam, even if the mountains quake with their surging, I'm not going to be afraid. What he's saying is, even if the whole world falls apart, I'm still not going to live in fear. You know, there are people in this world that are trying to get us to be afraid, aren't there? They're trying to make us afraid of every little tiny thing and afraid. They're trying to get us afraid that the world's going to collapse. You know, we hear all the time of global warming. We hear all the time of terrorism, of war, of the economy falling apart. Everyone just wants to make us afraid. You know, if you listen to the pundits on TV or you watch the news, I can take almost everything that they say and see something positive, and they always want to put something negative on it. Why? Because they want to create an atmosphere in which it causes people to want to buy more newspapers or watch the news more and do all that kind of stuff. Because if we run in fear, if they create controversy, then we're glued to the TV. I'm just not going to allow them to make me afraid. I got a God who's bigger than anything they can tell me. I got a God who's more powerful than anything they could say. I'm not afraid of global warming. I'm not afraid of, you know, terrorism and war. Doesn't mean that I'm going to go out and run in, you know, in the street in front of a car and, you know, do something stupid. But if you run around in fear, then you're not recognizing who your refuge is and who your ever-present help is and who your strength is coming from. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7 say, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. In other words, when you're facing trouble, when you're facing difficulties, as you're living your life, and trouble comes your way, go running to God, go running to your refuge, go running to your strength, go running to that person who can always be found and say, God, here's my problem, here's my trouble, here's what I'm dealing with. I lay before you, I put it in your hands. Now that you have it, I'm not going to worry about it. It's yours to take care of. We need to count on God's protection. We didn't need to trust in God's refuge and power and strength. In fact, I want you to notice a little word in this psalm. Sometimes it's in italics, sometimes it's kind of put in another section. But I want you to notice in the three sections of this psalm, you see a little word called Selah. Has the idea of kind of pausing and stopping and thinking about what you've just read and just thinking it through or meditating on it. Remember, these were songs. So we almost have three stanzas of a hymn here, broken down. And he's saying, look, stop and think about the fact that God is your refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, don't fear. We should not be like this world that is always afraid of everything that's going to come around the next corner. We should learn to be able to trust in God so that when trouble comes our way, we can count on His protection. Why don't you notice, secondly, in this psalm, that when trouble comes our way, we should depend on God's presence. Depend on God's presence. He started to talk about this some in verse 1, but I want you to notice he goes further in verse 4 through 7. Talks about the presence of God. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, where the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Notice that he demonstrates this truth here by talking about Jerusalem. The city of God here, the city whose streams are going into, the place where the Most High dwells, is a reference to the city of Jerusalem. Notice he says God's within her. God will help her at break of day. The nations are in uproar. There's all kinds of things going around the world. But God's presence is in the city of Jerusalem. And because God's presence is there, God's protection is there. God dwelt within Israel. His presence was there, and His presence was there until Israel had so sinned against God that we find in the prophets, little by little, God's presence left. God's blessing left Israel, and ultimately the Babylonians came in and defeated the Israelites and took everything from the temple, destroyed the temple, and took it all back to Babylon, present-day Iraq. I really believe that all too often as Christians, we don't depend on God's presence. I've told this story before, but it kind of fits here. When I was younger, just a teenager, where my parents lived, there's a cemetery up above our house, up above their house. And one of the days I was out in the yard and kind of goofing around in the yard, and two girls I knew from school came walking by. It was getting late in the day, and they had to walk through the cemetery to get to their house. So they turned to me and said to me, "Will you walk us up through the cemetery?" Now, as it got night and everything, and it would get dark in the cemetery, I had no desire to walk through that cemetery by myself. And they asked me to walk them through the cemetery, and I knew if I walked them through the cemetery, that meant I would have to walk back by myself unless I walked all the way around. But I was a guy. "Sure, I'll walk you through the cemetery. No one will bother you while I'm with you." And I thought, as I start walking those girls up the hill, what did I get myself into? I got to walk back through the cemetery all by myself. I'm scared to death. And I'm thinking about this while we're walking up to get to the cemetery. I'm thinking, you know, as I walk through the cemetery, once they get out of sight, I'm going to kind of walk back just a little bit. Once they get out of sight, I'm going to run all the way around. And it was a little ways all the way around. You had to go all the way around, you know, kind of a really big block. And I would just go back that way so I didn't have to walk through the cemetery by myself. I had two older brothers. One's 4 years older than me, and the other's 6 years older than me. And my brothers loved to scare me when I was little. And we used to sleep out at night in one of our buddies' house that was right near that cemetery. And, you know, as a little boy, I knew for sure there were people walking in that cemetery at night. So this was kind of dramatic for me. But, again, I was a guy. I had to get them through that cemetery. You know, it helped just the fact that two girls were with me. You know, it just helped the fact, and I was able to make it through that cemetery all right. And, you know, they thought I was the big guy going to protect them, so they had no problem going through the cemetery either. Do we understand if you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, if you have placed your trust in Christ to save you from your sin, and it is only for those who have trusted Christ to save them from their sin, that the presence of God goes with you everywhere you go. Now you might say, well, isn't God everywhere anyway? Yeah, God is everywhere anyway, but there's a sense in which God's special presence, God's special blessing is there with you no matter where you go. So when you face problems, when you face troubles, when, as he says in the psalm, the whole earth is kind of falling apart, or when he says in verse 4 through 7 that nations are in uproar and, you know, kingdoms are fighting one another, as we face those things, God's presence is right there with us. And we're not alone. Have you ever driven down the road in your car and, you know, you got nuts driving and they're just kind of swerving in and out everywhere? Or all of a sudden it started snowing and you're scared to death of driving in the snow, and here you are driving in the snow? Or maybe it's nighttime and you maybe thought you saw something out of the corner of your eye. Or maybe you went into work and all of a sudden, you know, your boss or maybe your coworkers are just, you know, trying to make your life miserable. Or maybe you just lost your job. And maybe you got a whole bunch of new circumstances. You may not know it yet, but Scott just got a new job. And we've been praying for that for a long time. And Scott and Marianne are going to be moving to Delaware. Your new job starts in June, right? So now that, you know, they got to go through all the things that goes through with getting a new job, finding a place to live and, you know, moving to a new town and starting a new job. And those things can be scary if we don't depend on the presence of Christ as we go. You know, you go to a new place where, you know, you're leaving all your friends behind and leaving family behind, and you're kind of going there, and at least for the beginning, it'll seem like you're all by yourself. But if you're depending on the presence of Christ and you realize that God goes with you, then you really don't go those places by yourself. And as you face trouble, there's nowhere where you go that you could be by yourself. Depend on the presence of God. Yeah, I think of Moses. Moses was talking to God, literally having a conversation with God. And Moses said to God, if you're going to send us up from this place, make sure you don't send us unless your presence goes with us. Because what will distinguish us from all the other people except for your presence? And Moses finally said, look, unless your presence goes with us, I'm not going to leave this place. That's how important the presence of God was with him. And that very same promise is given to Christians today. It's not just for the people of Israel. It's not just for those who lived in Jerusalem. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20 tells us that as we go out with the gospel, Scripture says, lo, I will be with you always. God's presence goes with us as we live our life. Hebrews chapter 13 tells us that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that his presence will always go with us. When you walk your walk, when you live your life, when you go where you go, God's presence is with you. We need to depend on it. We need to realize that we're never alone, especially when trouble comes our way. So notice he applies it here. He applies that truth, just like as he did up in the earlier verses. Notice verse 5. God is within her. She will not fall. God is within her. She will not fall. Word fall carries the idea of emotion that causes ruin or injury. Doesn't mean that you might not trip and hurt your ankle or something like that. I was having a little fun with Marilyn June a while back. She had fallen and broken her ankle. So I went to visit her in the hospital and read to her my favorite psalm about how God will keep us from stumbling. And she just laughed at me because she had stumbled and fallen. It's not talking about that kind of fall. It's talking about a fall that would just totally destroy and ruin your life. And when you go to God as your refuge, when you go to God as your help, when you go to God as your strength, when you realize and depend on God's presence to go with you, nothing can come into your life that's going to ultimately destroy your life. Understand, I'm not talking about death. I'm not talking about something physically happening or having an accident or, you know, dealing with difficulties in life, because we're already talking about trouble coming our way. But what the psalmist is talking about is things that come in your life that just absolutely ruin and destroy your life. He says, though the nations are roaring and though there's all kinds of problems because God's presence with us, we're not going to fall. We're not going to be destroyed. We're not going to be ruined. God, notice verse 7, God is our fortress. The Lord Almighty is our fortress. A little bit different word than the word refuge in verse 1. He's our fortress. It has the idea of being inaccessible. Of placing something high on a rock or high on a cliff so that nothing can get to it. An inaccessible, impregnable place. Nothing can befall the Christian unless God allows it. And because God's presence goes with us, God is there to protect us. I mentioned this last Sunday night, but again, it fits this context. It's the issue of Job. Satan came to God, and God said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? And Satan said of Job, he said, you know, the only reason that Job serves you is because you've blessed his life. You have put a hedge of protection around him and blessed his life. That's the only reason Job serves you. Do you know that principle is seen throughout Scripture? That God puts his hedge of protection, that God protects your life and God watches over your life, and nothing can get through that hedge unless God allows it. And if God allows it to get in, God has a reason for it, and there's nothing we can do about it except to trust God for allowing it into our life. But realize that God has a protective hand on every believer, every child of his. Nothing can get through that. God certainly is our refuge. God certainly is our fortress. Therefore, we will not fear. Believers should not run around in fear. Fear is the exact opposite of faith. And God tells us the only way to please him is to walk in faith. From first to last, as it says in the book of Romans. But when we walk around in fear, that does not please God. So count on God's protection. Depend on God's presence. He is our fortress. Now I want you to notice thirdly, when trouble comes our way, we need to trust in God's preeminence. Trust in God's preeminence. Now I know preeminence is a pretty big word, but we were looking at God's protection, God's presence. So I thought, let me give you another P, God's preeminence. It just means that God is sovereign and God is in control. It means that when you come to things in your life, we need to understand that God is in absolute control. So we need to trust him. He's sovereign. The Bible talks about Satan being the god of this age, but the god of this age has a god over him. And so Lord God Almighty, he is preeminent. Colossians chapter 1 talks about Jesus being preeminent. God is sovereign. God is in control. Notice with me in verse 8. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shield with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord, notice it's repeated, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. He demonstrates that simply by saying, come and see the works of the Lord. He has brought desolations on the earth. We see in this psalm the idea of man rising up in battle against man and wars going on and the earth falling apart. But yet, come and see, God is the one who is in control. God is the one who is sovereign. He wins the battle for his children over their enemies. He is the one who raises one king up and brings another king down. He is the one who raises one empire up and brings the next empire down. Come and see the works of the Lord. He is sovereign. Notice he very quickly applies this truth in verse 10. He says, "Be still and know that I'm God." Go look at what God has done. In fact, all you got to do is look at the universe and creation and see what God has done. And as we think about that, what should we do? Be still and know that He is God. The word "be still" carries the idea of ceasing from activity. In fact, if I can put this in my own words, the word carries the idea of relaxing. It's kind of God saying, your whole world is falling apart, relax. It's kind of God saying, there's trouble coming your way, relax. Be still, stop. Realize that I am God, I am sovereign, I am in control. And however big our problems are, God is bigger. Doesn't necessarily mean that God's going to cause all our problems to go away. It's not going to happen. We live in a world full of trouble. But it does mean that God will always be there for us. And there are even times when God will just turn all our troubles away. And if He doesn't do that, He's going to give us the strength to go through them. But He is not a spare tire that only expects to be pulled out in the case of danger. He expects to be in our life all the time. Be still. You know, sometimes you look at Christians, they seem like a chicken with its head cut off. You know, they're going through trouble, they're going through problems, they're just running all over the place and, you know, getting all hyper. Be still. Know that I am God. When problems come our way as Christians, we should be able to face those problems knowing that God is there for us, knowing that God is watching over us. And our reaction to trouble and problems should be totally different than the way this world reacts to problems and trouble. Because we have a relationship with God. Now, sometimes when we think about that thought, then we kind of beat ourselves even more because we didn't react in that way. But again, I would remind you that the righteous man, though he falls seven times, he gets back up. Though he sometimes faces problem and trouble and it knocks him off his feet, he just gets back up. We need to recognize and be ready that trouble will come our way. I wish I could stand this morning and say to you, you know, once you come to Jesus Christ, all your trouble is gone, but it's not true. You will face physical problems. You will face job-related problems. You will have family problems. You will have friendship problems. There's going to be church problems. There's going to be all kinds of problems we face in this life. But when they come our way, we need to count on God's protection. When they come our way, we need to depend on God's presence. And when they come our way, we need to trust in God's preeminence. Those who have a relationship with God can face whatever the trouble is, even if it were the whole world to fall apart, because we do have a relationship with God. Let's pray.